This is the news from RNZ Pacific. I'm Don Wiseman. A decision is now expected early next week in Samoa on the constitutionality of the Fast Party swearing in on the lawn in front of Parliament on the 24th of May. Fast, which had won the most seats in the April 9th election, organised the swearing-in to comply with the country's electoral rules that Parliament must sit within 45 days of the election. But the Fast MPs found themselves barred illegally from Parliament after the HRPP leader, Tuilapa Salele Malielengaoi, directed the Speaker to close the doors. Tuilapa called the Fast actions treasonous. The Supreme Court on Monday in Apia heard submissions from both parties and its decisions likely early next week. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, the Court of Appeal will be asked by Fast to clarify its ruling that there should be a sixth woman MP in Parliament. Several MPs have defected from Vanuatu's embattled government today in Parliament. The House sat following a Supreme Court ruling which confirmed a declaration of vacancies in most of the government member seats in Parliament. Johnny Blades reports.
Friday's ruling upheld a decision by the former Speaker of Parliament to expel 19 MPs, including Prime Minister Bob Loughman, from Parliament. A stay has been granted while the government appeals, pending which the MPs remain as members. This morning, when the 52-seat Parliament convened, four MPs joined the opposition, including the former Speaker, Gracia Shadrach. It gives the Ralph Regan-Vanu-led opposition 22 MPs and improves its chances of forming government if the Loughman coalition's appeal fails. Additionally, the opposition has filed a motion of no confidence in Mr. Loughman.
Two New Zealand medical specialists are flying to Fiji to support the COVID-19 response. Fiji's grappling with a rising number of COVID-19 cases. Out of the seven people who have died from the virus in Fiji, five have occurred in the current outbreak. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Nanaia Mahuta, says the two specialists will join Australia's medical assistance team.
They will fly over to Fiji, spend some 7 days in MIQ, and then a 28-day assignment, which helps do two things. Effectively, support the on-the-ground response, but also undertake a bit of an assessment about what else is required.
Nanaia Mahuta says one person will leave for Fiji today, and a Defence Force infectious disease specialist will be deployed shortly. The New Zealand government will make a final decision next week on rolling out COVID-19 vaccines to children. The medical regulator, MedSafe, has given the all clear for people as young as 12 to receive the Pfizer vaccine. At the moment, only 16s and above are eligible. The Prime Minister says ministry officials will now provide advice and cabinet ministers will make a final decision next week.
A number of places, including Canada, the US, Europe and Japan have already approved vaccination for 12 to 15-year-olds, and some have begun vaccinating this cohort already.
Jacinda Ardern says New Zealand has purchased enough vaccine supply to cover the new age group, so no one will miss out. Pfizer announced in April that its studies found the vaccine is safe and strongly protective for children as young as 12. The acting Prime Minister of Armenia has declared victory after a snap election called to defuse a crisis over an ill-fated war with Azerbaijan. Nikol Pashinyan says the Armenian people have given him a mandate to lead.
We already know that we won a convincing victory in the elections, and we have a convincing majority in Parliament. The people of Armenia express themselves, and the meaning of that choice is clear. The most important issue on our agenda is our resistance, peace in our region, and to open a time of peaceful development for our people.
Azerbaijan took back control of the disputed territory of Nagorno-Karabakh under a Russian-brokered deal. A MP in New Zealand says the Tongan and Marlborough communities are in shock after a fatal fight in Blenheim early on Sunday morning left one man dead and two others in a serious condition. 23-year-old Hiko Lynch from Tonga was a seasonal worker for an agricultural company which employs specific people for vineyards. The Kaikoura MP, Stuart Smith, says it's unimaginable.
Everyone's in shock, quite frankly, particularly for someone who's a visitor or a guest who's working in New Zealand. It's just a terrible incident. The RSE workers are a make a valuable contribution. To have anyone treated like this is just appalling.
Two people have been charged with murder over Hiko Lynch's death. Eight others face a range of charges over the altercation, including wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm, assault and disorderly behaviour. A proposed new airline flying direct from Wellington and Christchurch to Rarotonga has been cancelled. Christchurch businessman Mike Perro says the venture has been canned because of a lack of support from the Cook Islands government. Adam Jacobson has the details.
Mr. Perro, who is also a Cook Islander, says despite his best intentions, Pacifica Air just isn't meant to be. In comments made to Cook Islands News, he says there are just too many obstacles. The New Zealand-based millionaire says the Cook Islands government's lack of enthusiasm is the most disappointing reason as to why Pacifica Air won't succeed. He says the airline would have reignited horticulture and brought tourists to the islands.
The Premier of Niue, Dalton Tangilangi, has made it clear that the island will only accept vaccinated visitors once its border is fully reopened. The Premier has told Niue Broadcasting that it's only common sense. Mr. Tangilangi has estimated it will be late August or September before quarantine-free travel is allowed. He's issued an invitation to frontline workers in New Zealand to visit if they need a break, as long as they're vaccinated. The government says, meanwhile, from next month, those visiting for work or family reasons will be required to pay for their managed isolation and quarantine stay. A baby born weighing just a third of a kilogram has beaten the odds and celebrated his first birthday, becoming the most premature baby forever to survive. When Richard Hutchinson was born 5 months prematurely in the US state of Minnesota, now recognised by Guinness as the world's most premature baby, his doctors prepared his parents for the worst. He was given no chance of survival at the time of his birth. And that's the news from RNZ Pacific.